Proverbs chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. How should we listen to these words?
Carefully.
Very carefully.
Why should we listen very carefully?
Because they're God's words.
Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he sins who hastens with his feet. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against Yahweh. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished. And he who speaks lies will not escape. Many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? How many pursue them with words? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So how much wealth does the one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool there have in verse 1?
None. Little. Teeny bit. Nothing.
Okay. The poor in verse 1 is walking in his integrity. It actually doesn't tell us, does it, about the one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. It doesn't matter how much money he has. If his lips are crooked, if his lips go to the left and to the right of God's instruction, God's commands for how we are to use our mouths, then it would be better to be poor and at least use your lips correctly. Walk in integrity in every way, but if you're walking in integrity in every way, then you're guarding your lips too. You're speaking according to God's commands. You notice two of the commandments directly talk about our lips. The third commandment, shall not bear the name of the Lord in vain. And the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness. And that commandment is going to appear a couple of more times in the verses before us this evening. Okay. So, if you use your mouth not to praise God, not to worship God, not to do good to others, build them up, give grace to others, help them, but instead to attack others or for that which is foul, then it doesn't matter how much money you have. Let's be careful how we use our mouths. It's a good reminder for us. Okay, verse 2, also it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hastens with his feet. You know what's one application of this verse? Work hard in school. Say, oh, but I wish I could get on with my life and do other things. We need knowledge. We need to learn about the Lord. We need to learn His Word. We need to learn about His world so that we can live skillfully. Skillfully before the face of God. Skillfully in how we interact with one another. And skillfully in whatever our calling is. verse 3. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against Yahweh. This is a person who, instead of saying, Jesus bought me with his blood, like we were thinking about from Colossians earlier today, he isn't saying, I belong to Jesus. He's saying, I belong to myself. That's right, Beatrice. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so his foolishness twists his way. He seems to act outwardly nice at one point. He seems to act outwardly wicked at another point. The only thing that the two points have in common is he's been driven by his own foolishness. And he's doing in each moment whatever he thinks will get him what he wants. His heart frets against Yahweh. He says, I don't belong to the Lord. I belong to myself. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. Notice that the goal here isn't to have lots of money. The goal is to have friends. And not even in this case, to have friends who can help you, although God has designed us to need help from others. He's especially designed his church, in which each of us gives that help to all the others, and each of us has all the others give us help. But here, the idea is about those whom you can help. This is one reason for gaining knowledge and working hard and being diligent and being careful not to overspend on luxury, so that you may have money to help others. Remember, it's like the Lord says, let the thief no longer steal, but let him work hard with his hands, so that he may have something to help those in the time of their need. Not let him no longer steal, only so that he can provide for himself and not take from other people to provide for him. But let him no longer steal, let him work hard so that he can provide for himself and have something to help others. If you want to be someone that others can receive grace from and see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven, if you want to be someone who is who has an opportunity to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ, one good way is to work hard and have something to help others. A false witness will not go unpunished, verse 5. A false witness will not go unpunished, verse 9. He who speaks lies will not escape, verse 5. He who speaks lies shall perish, verse 9. Why do you lie? Why does anybody lie?
Because they want to get out of something.
Because they want to get out of something. So are they lying because they are sure that if they lie, they'll get caught? No, they're lying because they think that if they lie,
they'll get out of something.
They won't get caught. They'll get out of it. They can get away with it. The Bible says, and whose word is the Bible?
God's.
So God says, the one who speaks lies will not escape. The one who speaks lies will perish. Don't ever, 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 Beatrice, ever, Victoria, ever, any of you, don't ever tell a lie. All a lie does is get you stuck in your sin longer. Your lie will be found out. You will not escape. You will perish. And if you lie and seem to get away with it for a little while, all you are going to do is sin longer. It keeps you from getting help. It keeps you from getting correction. It keeps you from having a restored relationship with the person that you are lying to. Most often a mommy or a daddy. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Oh God, protect us, protect each of you, dear children, from being a liar. Almost always, whatever else you did, As soon as you lie about it, you've done worse in your lying than you did in whatever else it was. And even if the thing that you've done is worse than the lying becomes worse because it keeps you trapped in the sin that you did. It keeps you from being able to confess it. It keeps you from being able to get forgiveness for it. It keeps you from being able to have your mom or your dad or your elder or your brother or your sister on your side helping you fight against that sin. Don't worry about what people are going to think of you. We all already know that you're terribly wicked. And you're actually worse than we think you are. I don't worry about what people think of me, or if people think ill of me. I'm far worse than they think of me. Why would I try and make them think highly of me? Yet I walk in integrity, particularly for the sake of the Lord's name on me and my calling in the ministry, and each of you. As a Christian, you have good reason to walk in integrity. But you also have people who are put in your life to help you. Who are those? What are some of those people?
The elders.
The elders.
Parents.
Parents.
Siblings.
Siblings.
Friends.
Pastors and elder. Other people in the church. But especially your elders and your parents are put into your life to help you. Don't lie to them. Yes, John. Your brothers and sisters in the church are put alongside you. Yes, Beatrice. The deacons are set over you to help you in ministering earthly things. Okay. Speaking of the deacons, many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Same thing. Work hard. And don't be foolish in how you spend. Wealth is an instrument that can be used for the service of God and to love others. All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. You know, being poor isn't something to aspire to. Yes, John. Oh, you're still answering, who are our friends to help us? You know, it's very silly to lie to God, isn't it? Because God knows everything. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. But you know what? If you try to pray to him in a way that sounds better than you actually are, isn't that a form of lying to God? Shouldn't we in our prayers just be ruthlessly honest about what we're like? Since God already knows anyway. Okay. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul, and he who keeps understanding will find good. We're back to this theme of getting knowledge. Getting knowledge. A false witness will not go unpunished. He who speaks lies shall perish. We already covered verse 9. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. Okay, if you have little, and if you are either a fool or if you are in the place of a servant, then you should seek wisdom. You should seek to work hard. You should seek to be of greater service and helpfulness to others, and maybe even to acquire enough wealth or position to be able to help others. But this desire to have luxury, or this desire to be in power just for luxury's sake or just for power's sake, just demonstrates that we don't understand what money is for, and we don't understand what authority is for. What position is for. Wealth and position are to be used in the service of the Lord. So a lot here about gaining knowledge and the importance of it, paying attention day by day. We have family worship time like this one, and You're thinking about it later. First of all, you should be trying to think about it later. You're thinking about it later. You're wondering about something. You have a question. You come and ask me, or ask your mom, or ask one of the elders. So gaining knowledge and using it, the usefulness of wealth and position as we think of them properly, and then using our words correctly. So using wisdom, using wealth, and using words. Those are the three big ideas in the verses before us this evening. Yes, Victoria. Wealth, riches, stuff, property, money. Usually money, but other things too. Good question. All right, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray that you would give us all of these things. First of all, that you would give us wisdom, that you would help us to seek after knowledge and be diligent. We pray, Lord, that you would give us wealth, not for the sake of being wealthy or for the love of money. Help us to have our conduct without covetousness, but be content with such things as we have, for you yourself have said that you will not leave us or forsake us. And yet, Lord, even though we would be content being poor, yet we know from your word, as it even says here, that money can be useful in your service. So help us to work hard and help us to spend wisely so that we may have that with which to serve you and the spread of the gospel and doing good to our neighbors and to our brothers and sisters. And then lastly, Lord, we think about our words as we've heard the great, great danger of lying. Oh, Lord, please help me and my children. Help our whole family that every word that comes out of our mouths would be true and that we would not trap ourselves in sin with lies that cannot spare us anyway, for the one who lies will not escape, just like you told us here. So please help us with wisdom. Please help us with wealth. And please help us with our words, we ask. In Jesus' name, and your children here say,
Amen.
Amen.